Ooh, someone's blasting music driving by.
Can you hear that?
No.
All right, well, then it doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
It's some pretty good bachata, though.
Yeah, really, it's a shame our listeners can't enjoy it.
Yeah, that was like, I was listening to an episode of Trailbillies, and they had like a little bit of, like a couple seconds of Steely Dan from they were listening to in the room kind of leaked into the beginning of the recording, and they were like, oh, we better turn that off. You know, Steely Dan seems like they might be awful litigious.
That'd be hilarious if it was like they tried to get an entire podcast shut down because they played their music.
Yeah, like a second just and a half of like Can't Buy a Thrill, and they're just like, mm-hmm. Yo, you can't air that. But I mean, crazier things have happened. People who are in the Chrono Trigger community like I am might know that every fan project that wasn't a ROM hack for the last 20 years has received a cease and desist. So,
really?
It's like outright. There was a project where they were just going to make a faithful recreation of Chrono Trigger top to bottom with like PlayStation 1 style 3D graphics. They were going to release it for free. Everybody worked on it for free. There was no money exchanged at any point. And Square was like, they sent them like 8 cease and desists and threatened to take them to court.
Wow. That's really bullshit of them.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. That's insane, especially considering this is the company that knows there's a huge fan base for this series. And we want like a third installment. And they won't fucking give it to us. Especially since, I mean, we all like Chrono Cross, but it's not a real sequel to Chrono Trigger, right? It's like a spiritual sequel.
I don't know. I've never played any of those games.
I haven't played Chrono Cross, man.
You got to hop on those next.
It's weird that people are trying to make ROM hacks of it, though, because I thought people only made art when they can make money off it, and no one does any work if they can't get paid.
Yeah, it's really
baffling. I've heard that as well.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just the exception that proves the rule, right? Like, if people really love a video game enough that they're willing to make their own sequels to it with that video game for free, then that somehow proves that you need the profit motive for people to actually get work done.
Right.
It's just common sense.
It's only the one time when you love a game so much. Normally, no one wants to make any art or do anything cool unless they get money for it.
I don't even get up unless there's something to do. I've never taken a walk for no reason in my entire life.
You always have somebody dangling a dollar bill in front of you on a fishing line, and you're like, ooh, dollar bill.
Yeah, I only walk on the way to work and the way home from work. And I only come home because I need to sleep to go back to work.
Right.
Yeah, my whole life is on... is streaming on cam sites, and my alarm clock is the ding of people giving me coins.
It's like the Truman Show, but I brought it upon myself.
That's right.
You chose in the Truman Show. What really sucks is that the bad part is that he doesn't get to profit off the show he's creating. If he just owned the show and got to keep the money, then it would be a good movie.
He'd be a streamer. So The Truman Show is really just an allegory for capitalism. It's basically a made-for-TV adaptation of Das Kapital.
Pretty much, yeah. It condenses it a lot, but it's all there. Direct-to-video.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to episode 40 of Beep Beep Lettuce.
Woo!
Welcome.
We have me, Bryn.
We got me, Chris.
And we have me, John.
And Todd is now, we're getting reports that he is now in China. Mm-hmm. He's trying to affirm his Maoist tendencies.
We have some unconfirmed satellite video of a man in a Joker mask kung fu fighting some landlords in China. So may or may not be Todd. Yeah. Hard to confirm. But
just screaming at cameras, President Xi, notice me, senpai.
Just engaging in the most like radical brain centrism mediating between the Communist Party of China and the Maoist Students Unions.
Can we all just get along?
Hey, we're all communists, right, guys? I think we can find some middle ground here.
trying to organize a huge intra-tendency Halo LAN tournament. Yeah. He thinks that's what's going to unite all the contradictions and finally transition us to a utopia.
Yeah, that sounds like the epitome of white Maoism.
What, playing Halo and Kung Fu fighting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to China in a Joker mask and trying to tell the Communist Party how better to run their country of a billion people.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the official bastion of Marxism, Leninism, Second Lifeism.
Marxism, Leninism, Halo Manism.
Guys, I know you're afraid of everything that comes from the West, but how about, I really need you to play some Minecraft.
Just like tapping the Joker mask, like, I beat Batman.
I've built here in Minecraft what I think is a perfect utopia. Let me walk you through it. You got the fountain of Mountain Dew over here. You have the tree of mids. It provides only the greatest mids for smoking. And then most of the town is dedicated to a recreation of the warehouse from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. I think this serves the needs of everyone.
I call it Big Nug Candy Mountain.
Yeah, so that's where Todd is. But this week, we're going to jump right into the articles this week, because Politico had a real fucking doozy of a piece of shit they dropped. And that article is titled "The Secret of Bernie's Millions." Already funny. Sounds like a Nickelodeon show from the 90s. Mm-hmm.
The Secret of Bernie's Millions. So Team Barracuda is going to go first. They're going to spin the Dem sock wheel and decide what rally they're going to show up at this week.
Yeah, first you have to make it across the river of secrets and lies. And then reach the press the button of Jewish tropes.
Well, this is a really interesting article for a bunch of reasons. One, because it's incredibly long and meanders an incredible amount. Two, during the entirety of the time I was reading it, I could not tell if they were trying to viciously attack Bernie or go easy on him. They seem to just like waffle randomly between those two viewpoints.
Yes.
Yeah. I finished the article and I was like, what the hell was the point of that? And Bryn said, I think the point was just to have the tweet, basically, like have the post and the image, which they made a post that they deleted because people rightly pointed out how shitty and stupid and anti-Semitic it is, where Bernie Sanders is holding a house in his hand and then he has a house on each ear in sort of a house phone, check out what a rich boy I am image. And the tweet said, Bernie Sanders might still be cheap, but he's sure not poor.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That was tweeted and then consummately ratioed.
It was roasted.
And then deleted.
And then it was replaced by an image of him standing by a house and also next to a tree growing money, which I don't really think is much better.
It's way worse, honestly.
I don't know why that is like the less racist or less anti-Semitic version of that.
It rings of Northeastern liberalism and not like Western European anti-Semitic tropes, which, as we all know, if something is bigoted, it means it came from over 100 years ago.
Maybe they assumed that's it would true. Also just make liberals and white people think of the Kendrick Lamar song Money Tree and be like, well, okay, that's a black person thing, not a Jewish thing. So
we all know Killer Mike already likes Bernie Sanders. Why not get the rest of the rappers on board?
Right, right.
Yeah, so this article, I don't really know where it's trying to come from. I mean, it seems like they started from the idea that the way we can smear Bernie Sanders is being a socialist means you have to be poor, which is, I don't know where they got that assumption or why that they are thinking that that's something that everyone already knows, because they don't explain it in this article.
No, not at all.
They're not saying,
they reference it over and over, though. They keep coming back to being like, he used his relatively, you know, frugal lifestyle, he used his modest means as a point of leverage for this and that campaign. But they never really tell you, like, why that's bad or why it's bad that he would accrue money as he entered what was his 50s and 60s. Like, this man had nothing to his name until he was, like, 45, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the fucking problem then?
Yeah. To me, it seems like they were just trying to present themselves as like radical brain centrists, because like Politico fancies itself, you know, like an upstanding, you know, journalism of politics. So they don't want to just be smearing someone and being like Fox News or Reason Magazine or something and mm-hmm. saying he has money, therefore he's a hypocrite. But they're basically just planting that idea in people's heads, especially with the tweet and the image.
Yeah. They don't want to outright say that, but they are definitely okay with just assuming that as fact.
They're implying
that if you want to change society at all, having gained any money in any way in a capitalist system is counterpoint to your beliefs, and so therefore you're a hypocrite.
So the I can just imagine the people from Politico like, oh, I see you want a socialist non-bourgeois revolution, yet you took over a literal factory. Checkmate, communists.
Yeah, if you use this logic, you could apply it to just about anything socialist or communist and say like, well, you operated before this in a capitalist framework or a feudalist framework. Like, I think Politico in 1917 would write an article about how all the Bolsheviks and Mensheviks were used to live under a czar. So it's weird that they profited from czarism to take power or some shit.
Before we continue on down that line of stuff, I wanted to address the anti-Semitic tropes. Right? Like, do we think that this is something that is anti-Semitic?
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair? Because when Ilhan Omar, this is what I'm imagining is the liberals will get mad at this inconsistency, right? When Ilhan Omar mm-hmm. said anti-Semitic tropes, everyone made fun of them.
Mm-hmm.
For saying that what she said was saying was anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
But in this case, it seems like they're being anti-Semitic and they're going to be like, well, why? See, you're just playing favorites here, right? Mm-hmm. When Ilhan Omar does something anti-Semitic, it's fine. But when we bash Bernie with anti-Semitic tropes, it's not bad.
Yeah. Well, she just criticized like Zionists, and here they're saying like this Jewish guy is a cheap money grubbing asshole. Like, it's more anti-Semitic than anything Ilhan Omar did.
No. It's only anti-Semitic if it's targeted at Israel specifically or Zionists, which, as we all know, completely represent the Jewish people in their totality. Peace doesn't exist.
Bernie's a race traitor to Jews because he has criticized Israel. So he's basically a Rachel Dolezal now, and it's not racist.
It's not anti-Semitic
to make fun of him.
Yeah, you can't be anti-Semitic towards anti-Zionists. It's mathematically impossible.
Yeah. Ipso facto, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because I'm not Jewish, and I just feel like maybe it's part of my my blind eye towards anti-Semitism. But in my mind, like Israel has a lot of influence over the American system, and I didn't think that liberals would use anti-Semitism as like a hit piece as a bludgeon against Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I thought, I don't know, it didn't seem like something that would work for them.
Mm-hmm. You mean doing this article? Like,
well, I remember even back in 2016, people would say like, oh, people don't like Sanders because he's Jewish and they're being anti-Semitic.
Uh-huh.
And that seemed as spurious to me as the accusations of Ilhan Omar being anti-Semitic.
Yeah, but
okay. You know what I mean?
We have to remember a very important thing about liberals, which is that just because something won't work and they know that it won't work doesn't mean they're not going to try it 100 times.
Yeah.
That's fair. But this is pretty, to my eyes, pretty concretely anti-Semitic.
It's about as like direct of a like quote unquote trope as you can get, that like Jews are cheap. I feel like that's like the first thing, the first stereotype of Jews everyone learns as like, you know what I mean? As
in
like
school.
On racism day.
Yeah. Having a fucking money tree next to him being like, he's rich and cheap.
Right. That's especially it. That he like is,
he controls everything.
Yeah. That he's like hoarding money, and also that he's cheap and doesn't want to, like, he's money grubbing.
And it's a secret how he even got his money.
Yeah, he was like doing it in the shadows.
Meanwhile,
it's
they literally quote him as saying, if you write a best-selling book, you can be a millionaire too. Like, he's very, he's as upfront about his money as anybody's ever been.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's weirdly upfront about his financial situation throughout his life, more than any other politician, probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think him being a millionaire will magically make him like suddenly be fine with millionaires running the economy. Like, I don't think it's changed at all his political goals, which is to fight for the working class against the owning class.
Well, look, it's only socialism if you have a non-millionaire drop the drone bombs on children in hospitals, right? That's representation. That's right. Socialist representation. Yeah.
What we want here is a poor person to murder everyone in Gaza and establish Jerusalem as, an American satellite state.
Mm-hmm. Look, as we all know, the ultimate measure of... acceptability of wokeness is whether you're punching up or punching down. So as soon as Bernie has millions of dollars, it's possible that somebody who works at a big bank actually has less money than him, and then he's punching down. So like, where does that leave him? It makes him a hypocrite.
I guess that's true. So this article, we are not going to read it, but we all read it. Mm-hmm. And it's so long.
It's so much work. Long. For I don't know what purpose. They like interview people. The guy went and like looked at different houses Bernie has lived in.
That
and,
was
like,
my favorite part. The rundown of his houses. They were like his house, his $500,000 row house in Washington, D.C. I just hopped on Zillow for a second and looked at home prices in Washington, D.C. $500,000 does not buy much.
Mm-hmm. It's a really expensive real estate market. Probably because
I think it's the second in the country after San Francisco. Like you, for $500,000, you can buy a house that's not even nice as the apartment I live in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like that's the thing. Basically, all Bernie has done is like buy some houses, and like him and his family like bought a like beach house, like lake house to go on vacation on, and like pass down to their kids. Like it's really nothing crazy. He's not like. Buying fancy cars.
He doesn't even rent them. He doesn't even Airbnb the things, right? That would be the fucking, that would be the jab. That would be the hypocrisy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If he was a landlord.
Yeah, or if he bought a business and was just like cutting corners to make a profit. He literally just like wants a nice little vacation home to pass down to his kids, which is not really an insane thing to want.
Well, I think what's important here is that we examine the mechanism in which he got rich, which is Bernie Sanders has tried for his whole life to change the ruling class from the inside. And we can argue all day until we're blue in the face if that's a good strategy. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that he's been trying to enter the realm of the ruling class. Mm-hmm. And you literally can't do that and be poor.
Yeah.
It's impossible. That's how America works. And I think that that's sort of the one thing that this is, that's underlying this whole article, is that they don't kind of explain if there's a secret, like they say it in the headline of this article. The secret is you're not allowed to be in power in America and be a poor person. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to be someone who, is oppressed in any way by anyone else. You have to have entered the regime of the ruling class.
Well, it's like when AOC got into office and she wasn't able to move until she saw her first congressional paycheck, and everybody in the government was like making fun of her and like talking down on that kind of shit. And it's like, it's really just widely considered. I mean, that's how this country was started, right? We're like, oh, we had a rebellion against the British that was very much about democracy, and it was about a bunch of rich old white dudes being in charge of their own money and not giving it to a king. It had nothing to fucking do with 99.9% of the people who lived on this country at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, this is a guy who has been just trolling America for some like upwards of 30 years now. And finally, because of the internet, basically just was like, had ideas that people liked. And when you have ideas that people like, you get money from them because mm-hmm. that's how our economy is set up. It's an attention, mm-hmm. it's an attention economy. Mm-hmm. Like there are 12-year-olds with YouTube channels who have a net worth bigger than Bernie Sanders.
Oh yeah. Isn't there even younger? There's a kid who like unboxes toys on YouTube. Who's yeah. eight or something.
He, and has millions of dollars.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. It's insane.
And that's just because if you get enough people, if you get enough people's eyes on you for whatever reason, regardless of if it's well thought out political policy or just reactionary racism or mm-hmm. because you unboxed a fucking Funko Pop toy, then you get money. Mm-hmm. And that's how our economy works. So to say that Sanders is a hypocrite because he got a lot of people behind him and then money followed is fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's yeah, stupid as shit, especially when the guy's out here on the campaign trail saying shit like, I'll raise taxes on myself. Like, he's not...
Right.
Yeah. He's trying to actively show that he's willing to betray his class interests.
That's right. Mm-hmm. My favorite part of this article is actually this small quote where Politico tips their hand very early on. They have a quote here that says, he became the very thing he criticized others for becoming. And at the same time, he didn't fix any of the problems he's been railing about that got him to this point.
What?
Boston-based Democratic strategist Mary Ann Marsh told me.
Yeah, that's quite, that really stood out to me too.
So that was such a strange quote because this person, Mary Ann Marsh, is saying that he didn't fix any of the problems, which I guess is capitalism.
Yeah.
He didn't fix capitalism.
Well, but it's funny because earlier in the article, they were like talking about what an effective mayor he was and how good he was at budgeting and how many local issues he solved and how the conservatives were all surprised that he was doing so well. And then at the end of the article, they were like, oh, but he doesn't actually solve problems.
Right. Like, does that mean that he didn't solve the problems nationally? Because, like, he could do a lot more when he was mayor and had a lot of power in one town than he could as one out of 100 senators.
Yeah. Well, he should have just ascended to be God Emperor Bernie Sanders and just monistically fix the whole world. And then Politico would have had his back.
But what's strange about this quote, or what I was like, who is Mary Ann Marsh? Mm-hmm. Mary Ann Marsh, if you click her name right there, it's to a piece she wrote for Fox News. She's a Fox News commentator.
Oh, so she's a Fox News Democrat?
They call her a Democratic strategist, but she is the person covering Democrats on Fox News.
Wow. That's insane.
And she works for a company that is just a marketing company for politicians. Mm-hmm.
So that's, she's basically outrageous, trolling Democrats by being like, well, look, he made money and yet he didn't completely change the economy to be the way he wanted it to be at the same time. So owned much?
Yeah. I don't know why they're interviewing fucking fucking conservatives.
Well, I know why. It's because
calling them Democratic strategists.
It's because they want this article to make it seem like maybe Bernie did a bad thing and maybe he didn't, and you should decide for yourself. And they assume that enough of the readers are simple-minded dullards who'll be like, oh, well, that's a good point. He has made a lot of money. I guess he's bad now. I don't know why I thought he was good before.
We interviewed Washington, D.C. based Democratic strategist John McCain's ghost, and he told us it's like the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then motherfucking Bob Shrum says, at times, almost, it sounds like he thinks it's inherently evil to be well off.
And that's such a fucking hedge to say that Bernie thinks being well off is evil. It's just the opposite. He thinks it's evil to be incredibly wealthy while other people aren't well off. Like, it's a really insane thing in this country that, like, we use well off to mean, like, has a lot of money, but it, like, should be you didn't even need money to be well off in the first place. Everyone should have, like, a home and healthcare and food, and then you can have more money if you want.
Yeah, well, they're doing the classic thing of, like, conflating necessities with luxuries, right? It's like... Mm-hmm. they're like, oh, you, Bernie shouldn't even have $2 million. Oh, like if you need food stamps, you shouldn't have a microwave and a fridge in your house. Mm-hmm. Like that's the level of like just resenting poor people that we're at in the conservative United States. And mm-hmm. that bleeds over really hard into the liberal media. I mean, like even if you're not watching Fox News, half of MSNBC's news coverage is just covering Fox News.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There was that tweet recently where the guy was like, if you're making minimum wage, you shouldn't waste money on entertainment. It's like basically implying you should just not do anything fun.
Oh yeah, that.
When he was like, it's easy to live on.
Poor, treacherous, dumbass who only had like 300 followers.
Yeah, yeah.
But went viral for being so galaxy brain stupid.
If you only have a few hundred followers, then you shouldn't waste your tweets on trying to have fun. You should only be doing tweets to get you more followers.
Yeah, and this article also like continually talks about like, well, he used to be lower middle class, but now he's upper middle class. Mm-hmm. Like those things don't exist.
Right.
That's not a thing. You can't be middle class doesn't exist.
Right.
You yeah. can be in the ruling class. You can be bourgeois and you can be working class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and
shut
like
the fuck up.
Bernie is bourgeois. That's fine. We all know that he's mm-hmm. a bourgeois politician. Socialists, I mean, maybe some like rad libs are fooling themselves now. About that, but the rest of us know, you know, any like actual hardcore communist or anarchist knows he's a bourgeois politician, but he's an mm-hmm. active class traitor to the bourgeois class, and he's a good sight better than any other, you know, political or any other presidential candidate we have on the table, except Gravel, who assuredly won't win. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like, I hate to be the leftist looking at the Democrats and being like, I'm trying to play real politic.
Yeah, it just, he's an anomaly in the Democratic Party, in the establishment, because he's been for decades saying, like, we need to fight for the proletariat class, essentially. Like,
yeah.
I wish he would say that. Can you imagine how triggered Fox News
yeah,
would be?
Yeah. I wish he would actually, but it was like talking in this
we
article.
We need to help the proletariat rise up.
Well, it was talking about how he like had some notes on his legal pad when he was mayor, where it was like, I don't actually think a politician can help everyone. So the conflict between the classes is important and you have to help the working class. So
yeah.
he doesn't, I'm sure now his aides tell him he shouldn't, or maybe he's become more liberal. I don't know exactly, but like he pretty consistently argues in favor of working people and against insane decadence in the ruling class, like massive banks and healthcare corporations and shit. Like he's for decades basically had the political goal of helping the working class have more power democratically.
Right. And as we covered last episode, he's been using his political clout to help unions. He's been doing all kinds of stuff. And in case you're a new listener to this show, our stance on Bernie is very simple. Bernie will not bring the revolution. So you should organize. You should do a lot of other stuff. But the very minimum you can do is vote for Bernie.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's just another tiny little drop in the bucket. And don't kid yourself about how tiny it is. But also, you may as well do it. Voting for most people is like a 15-minute, half-hour activity. Like, just go fucking do it.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, I know he hasn't been the best on like Israel and certain, but he like is pretty anti-imperialist.
Yeah, so more so like, than other people for sure.
I mean,
he actively opposes like half the wars we're in. That's a far sight better than all the other politicians
at
who
least,
support
yeah.
every
yeah.
single one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I think the argument that like I hear a lot of like super online leftists say is like, well, I won't participate in the imperialist shit. Like, I think that Bernie actually breaks down that argument. I think he actually would be like, would do a lot to break down the imperialist military complex.
Yeah, mm-hmm. well, and he would open the door for people to be able to have like public conversations in the media, and like the window of where the middle is would shift, right? Instead of having people who only oppose one war and people who support all the wars, and you have to exist in the middle of that. If you have somebody in power who opposes like half the wars, then maybe you have some people who oppose all the wars showing up on like news talk shows and stuff, and the conversation gets mm-hmm. pushed further in that direction. And that's what we need, is like some kind of fucking antidote to the Fox News like media war machine.
Mm-hmm. Right. Speaking of Fox News media war machines, NPR had an article this week titled, "In Rural West Texas, Illegal Border Crossings Are Routine for U.S. citizens.
This was the best article I've maybe ever read.
It's wild.
You've heard it here first, folks. Americans are illegal immigrants.
They're breaking into Mexico. They're not sending their best. They're stealing medical care from starving Mexican children.
That was the thing about this that was like the most striking to me too, was because I was reading a few paragraphs in, I was like, why are they going to Mexico? And then the article was like, there's a hospital that's a 15-minute walk away that will give them free care, or they can ride in a car 3 hours to be in debt for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's a very bleak scenario, but that's basically why, is that they live in really tiny, like, I don't even know, I think they're like unincorporated villages or something of like hundreds of people. And there's no hospital. The nearest hospital is 3 hours away, and you can just go into Mexico, and they'll, even if you're not a Mexican citizen, they'll give you healthcare for free. And then they, I think it even says that it's not illegal to cross into Mexico, but then it is to cross back, not on the like official border crossing.
Yeah,
and you have to go like 90-minute
drive away to get to the official port of entry. So it's like you could either walk 15 minutes illegally or spend the whole rest of your day trying to get back home.
Right. I feel like they'd almost have to like go out of their way to like get noticed and get in trouble in the first place.
Yeah.
By the Border Patrol.
And that's the thing too. They interviewed this Border Patrol like captain or whatever, Mike Shelton. And he said, agents are trained to use their judgment on a case by case basis. We want these agents to reason for themselves. Is what I'm about to do going to further the interests of the government and society? Which when I read that, I was like, that's just horrifying. Giving racists a blank check on who to detain.
Right. Because as most of us would agree, just they should use their discretion every time and not stop anybody and not detain people for no reason.
they should use their discretion and quit.
But it also just like is such a counterpoint to the way that like both parties, really, like Democrats too, portray like immigrants coming in across the border as that it's like they're dangerous hordes and they're coming in because they need to steal our jobs or like steal medical care or whatever. There's always this like fear that immigrants will like take stuff that's meant for U.S. citizens. But in this article, it's just like there's plenty of U.S. citizens who have to go to Mexico to get medical care, to have anything.
Yeah, it's like that photo of the U.S.-Mexico border that goes around every once in a while, and they're like, this is the U.S.-Mexico border, and then they tell you, like, the really developed and shiny side is Mexico. The super fucking poor part is the United States. But, like, people have this racist approximation of what Mexico is, like, in a totality, neglecting the fact that Mexico is a vast and diverse country, just for starters. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, and also just that, like, illegal border crossings have been going down. There's, like, less people coming in recently than were in the past.
Well, I mean, hell, if there was a nice spot to live in Mexico and I knew I could get a job, I might take a one-way trip down there. Fuck it. The United States blows chunks. Fuck this place.
It's not good, folks.
We don't like it.
Not a fan.
The other thing that I thought was interesting was that they mentioned that the locals who do these border crossings are on like good terms with a lot of the Border Patrol guards, and they'll let them know about drug smugglers and illegal immigrants coming in, which to me is
what the fuck?
You must get some fucking, some mean looks at that free hospital. Like that's the guy who ran out, you know, my fucking brother or whatever. It's like, you'd be lucky not to get your ass beat. You better keep that shit under your hat.
Yeah. That is some cognitive dissonance to be like, well, I'm going to cross in illegally and take medical care, but then I'll be sure to tell if any, you know, dirty Mexicans come into my country. I'm sure they think that it's like that it would only do it if it was like criminals or something, you know, like people who are going to smuggle in drugs and kill people. But the whole way that people decide, like just criminalize any immigrant who's coming in, just has to affect that.
It's amazing to me that the people who live right next to the border and go in and out of Mexico regularly still don't have the fucking consciousness to realize that the Border Patrol guards are not fucking helping anybody.
Right. Like
literally no one.
Yeah. Literally nobody.
The last few paragraphs of this article are really fucking gross. The person they're talking to, Telez, acknowledged that what is happening here flies in the face of border enforcement. Deep down in my heart, it does make me feel guilty, but I have to do it sometimes, she said. However, she said other residents said they don't flaunt what they're doing.
No, we just get written up in NPR about it.
They understand that the Border Patrol has a job to do.
Why?
Oh my God. What job? What does the Border Patrol do that helps anybody? $1,000 bounty to anybody who can bring me one compelling piece of evidence that demonstrates the Border Patrol being helpful.
Yeah. Maybe if they arrested Donald Trump Jr., who was going into Mexico to gamble illegally, and he got beaten up in jail, and then I'd be like, okay, that one Border Patrol agent who arrested him, critical support.
Yeah, critical.
Otherwise, it's not happening.
Well, speaking of critical support, there was a event that happened in Austria last week. They had a far-right freedom party that was like the dominant party in their government, and their party leader, who was also vice chancellor, Heinz Christian Strache, was forced to resign, and the FPO threatened a mass resignation earlier on Monday if Interior Minister Herbert Kickl was also forced out. They don't indicate that Kickl was forced out, but it seems that he was, because Chancellor Sebastian Kurz called over the weekend for Kickl to be sacked. And then the scandal broke when they showed a video of Straka and another FPO official proposing to offer government contracts to a Russian oligarch's niece. And the inclusion in here that really got me was he said that he would give her public contracts, explaining that he wanted to build a media landscape like Viktor Orban.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it basically sounded like he wanted... Also, was this not even a real, like, Russian oligarch's niece? Because it was a sting, right? Like, trying to entrap him, essentially, with a video of him attempting to be corrupt. I mean, either way, whether she really was a niece of an oligarch or not, he wanted her to, like, buy a newspaper, fire the people he didn't like, and hire people he did like to make him, to write about him and make him seem cooler. And then once he had power, he would... give her construction contracts and shit, like government contracts. So just very lazy and blatant political corruption of like, tip the scales basically, in my favor and then I'll give you money.
Basically what Trump would do, except this guy didn't have the appropriate protections in place.
Yeah. So you're saying he's a shittier political operative and more nakedly corrupt than Donald Trump?
Yeah, he's just like Donald Trump is like a hardened street grifter, and this is the guy like a block down who watched him work one day and is like poorly recreating his cup and ball trick.
That is true. Trump has basically a lifetime of experience of grifting and back alley deals and corruption. So that's really what he's been working for his whole life, not to be president, but to... be in a position of power without earning it.
Yeah, he's
and,
just grifting
use it
from
to
the
better
most,
himself.
He's just grifting now from the most advantageous chair in the country instead of the one in Trump Tower he used to sit in.
Yeah.
So because of all of this, they all resigned? Is that what happened?
I think so. And they were like half of the cabinet of the government in Austria.
Holy shit.
And then it looks like after they quit, like leadership fell to the center right party. That's Mr. Kurz. And Mr. Kurz is now, Chancellor Kurz is facing a vote of no confidence by the Austrian people. So it's like the far right, like, got out of Dodge. Now the center right lost all of their popular support. So hopefully this election that they're trying to call at least lands in like a center left coalition, hopefully further left than that. Because this is kind of reminiscent of what happened in Spain, right? Like there was a vote of no confidence for the conservative, somewhat far right party, and they ended up with a socialist coalition shortly after that.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So here's hoping.
Well, they do have a socialist left party.
Ooh, I love a socialist left party. Well, if it's actually socialist.
Yeah.
Well, their political position, according to Wikipedia, which we all know is an incredible resource.
Oh, yeah.
Never biased in any way, is far left.
Well, that's pretty good.
Their ideology is Marxism, Revolutionary Socialism, Trotskyism, Euroscepticism.
Euroscepticism? So they're probably skeptical of the EU. That makes sense.
It's pretty good. Yeah, EU is a massive neoliberal hell, as far as I can tell.
But I also they don't say they're anti-EU. They say they're Eurosceptics.
Yeah, I'm agnostic about the EU. It might be cool. I have to find out.
I doff my fedora to it critically.
Well, it can't be worse than the far right party. So, so long, suckers.
Yeah, good riddance to bad rubbish, etc.
Yeah. Speaking of good riddance to bad rubbish, The Guardian reports, good riddance. Readers react to Theresa May's resignation.
This tickled me so much, because even though a lot of these quotes are very politically confused, it's just good to see people hate on this dusty old spoiled mayonnaise sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that's like that happens a lot, I think, in just the political views of just, you know, a random slice of citizens. If you just like ask a man on the street about something, like, it'll be a little like politically confusing and maybe not like based on a solid like bedrock of ideology, but they're very, very clear when they dislike somebody, when they hate a politician and leader and they think they've done bad things. It's very, very clear. And I think that's great.
Yeah. You just walk up to some random guy in London being like, what do you think about Theresa May? Oh, she's a right cunt, right?
Yeah. It's like, have you seen that video of the old Irish woman being asked about Margaret Thatcher dying? I think it's like right after she died and she's like really excited. And the interviewer is like, isn't that mean? She's like, oh, too bad. Too bad.
No, just like, yes, it is mean. Well, it's like that video of the guy that they were interviewing on some like British TV channel, and he just went off for like a full minute about all of the different people that Theresa May disenfranchised, and the host was like, well, don't you think you should just look at it from a human level? And the guy's eyes like basically glowed. He was like, I am looking at it from a human level. Like,
did you not hear what I just fucking said?
Yeah. It's not actually bad for one human to not have an extremely privileged and powerful job.
Yeah,
her life will be fine.
Her pension is like more money than most fucking legislators make per year anyway. She's going to be more than fine. She's still part of the ruling class. Nothing significant has been taken away from her or the Tories, really.
Right.
Also, she resigned.
Yeah, she's
quitting. It's not like she was impeached or ousted. I'm so sorry.
I think in England, UK getting fired involves quitting. That's part of their whole exaggerated politeness and professionalism deal.
Right.
Oh, is that true?
It's rude to make somebody else fire you.
You're just like, oh, I'm going to get fired. I better get out of the way. It's just prudent.
Yeah. I would have absolutely the opposite take if I was in her position.
You'd be like, I'm never quitting. Fuck all y'all. You have to drag me out of here.
Yeah. Can you imagine resigning
from power? Yeah. Why?
Power? Like, no.
We got shit to do still.
Well, she doesn't have any fucking ideology. She was just there as like, as a job, right? She may as well have been a fucking university president or something for all it mattered to her. She was just cashing an enormous check.
Yeah, just punching a clock, like, all right, time to make the donuts.
Yeah, I mean, I
time
guess
to make the politics.
If you look at it that way, like, I would definitely quit my job if literally everyone at my job hated me and was telling me to quit all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'd be like,
me too.
All right, fine, fuck you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, especially when you could cash in a big pension. Like, maybe she's actually in that video where she cries, she's crying out of happiness. She's imagining how, for the rest of her life, she can just get a big house with a pool and, I don't know, read Jane Austen novels while sipping tea and eating biscuits next to it. I don't know what rich British women
I'm imagining like the scene from Risky Business where Tom Cruise slides in his underwear, but she's just doing that weird dance walk she did.
Around her own home while like the kettle boils.
So what does the people of the EU have to say about Theresa May?
There were a lot of things, like she had no tears for Windrush. Few people brought up Grenfell Tower, where like 70 some people were caught in a burning building, and she didn't cry over that. She was like super stoic and very political about the whole thing. They say that she's crying for herself and not the country, which is like the most surface level assessment, I guess you could make of like a Krasenstein tweet, but it's correct. So
yeah, I like how they include the screen names of these people.
Like, oh yeah, I didn't really think about that. Baloopa.
Yeah, ID 593171.
This would have been an excellent speech had it been delivered right after her huge bungle in calling the snap election was revealed as a disaster. Nearly 2 years later, it was self-serving and utterly devoid of real insight, which is everything we've come to expect from Mrs. May. Caligula.
Oh, man. This almost makes me want to watch cable news just to see, like, the weird tweets from, like, Gritty's Nutsack 88 or something that they use on MSNBC. But I assume if it's anything funny like that, they, like, crop it out. Or,
yeah,
like,
they probably wouldn't pick that guy.
Yeah. Which is... It's one more reason about why cable news is terrible.
I want to see what Scottish Twitter is saying about this, because every once in a while, Scottish Twitter goes around as a meme, and they've got to have some hot Theresa May takes, right?
I'm sure they do.
Scottish Twitter is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Looking it up?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. It's not like a lot of pithy things. It's a lot of people just being really excited.
Read one.
Oh, God. Some good news for Scotland. We need to be free from this corrupting Westminster government so we can give every Scottish citizen a chance to break the cycle poverty. Scottish government to set out plans for IndyRef 2 within days of Theresa May's departure. Oh, so it looks like the Scottish government is using this as an opportunity to probably gain some more autonomy for themselves, which, you know, I have nothing but support for that.
So, John, do you know... Okay. I know literally nothing about how like fucking bourgeois political systems work outside of America.
Yeah, I really have a well-grounded understanding of like England's relationship with Scotland or how far the powers of British Parliament extend across the island. I'm going to plead the chili cheese dog on this one. I'm just a dumb American.
I know a little bit about that history, but what I was going to say is now that Theresa May is not the prime minister. Who is the prime minister?
People are saying it might be Boris Johnson, and he's kind of like British Trump. Yeah, and everybody's really fucking upset about that. But it also looks like a bunch of people are forming a coalition to ensure that it's not Boris Johnson. So I think in kind of a weird way, what we just talked about in Austria might also be happening here. Like they oust Theresa May. Boris Johnson's the next logical candidate, but everybody hates him for the same reasons they hate Theresa May and Trump, right? So now Britain is going to have to get a little bit politically creative. And that's an opportunity for the Labour Party or like a left coalition or something to move in. And if we have English or Scottish or listeners in the UK, tell me exactly what I said wrong here, because I'd love to know more about this.
Yeah. Shoot us some messages in the Discord.
Yeah. Does this lead to a new election? Because I was trying to Google that and couldn't really figure it out.
It seems like it's being debated, right? Like people in the Tory party are some of them are saying we need a new election. I think Labour is calling for an election.
Well, pip, time to pick up the scepter and have an election.
Get out the sorting hat.
That's a very weird part of their politics to me, is that they're just like, let's have an election. Like that was when I first heard about Theresa May, is when she was like called an election to like establish that she was popular, like to establish her Brexit plan and then actually lost seats. She just oh got completely owned, got her pants pulled down.
That is cool.
Well, let's like, throw lots.
If you can just call an election anytime, like my question is, can the British people call an election, or does it have to come from somebody in a position of power?
Like a vote of no confidence? That'd be cool.
Yeah, or like just a general referendum. Like if you get enough signatures and then you have like a preliminary voting session or something, like can you establish that there should be a nationwide election? Because that would be like, that. There's probably no mechanism for that in bourgeois power politics as they exist that really offers anything. But if there is something to be exploited there, it could be expanded or whatever.
Yeah, I feel like Britain is probably like the end of Game of Thrones where... Samwise Gamgee is like, how about democracy, bourgeois democracy? And they're like, no, you fucking idiot.
And the writers are like, this was just our commentary about, you know, it was a little bit of a joke about democracy and shit. We thought people would find it funny.
Well, and then Tyrion comes up and he's like, I can't think of anybody better to rule over England than J.K. Rowling in a wheelchair.
Yeah, Tyrion's the hobbit, right? He's my favorite.
Yeah. No, he's not a hobbit. He's a person of small stature, Bryn.
No, he's a hobbit.
There's not hobbits.
He's got the curly hair.
He's not that curly.
He's got the hair on the bottom of his feet so he doesn't ever wear shoes. You can see it right there in the show.
Yeah, didn't you watch the show?
That's true. I wasn't paying attention to the... I looked away from the feet because I didn't want to get too horny while watching.
Oh, God. Speaking of getting real horned up, Trump... dismisses the DPRK's test of some small weapons.
this is my favorite Trump tweet of all time that he's ever tweeted too.
Well, let's read the tweet, because the article, this is from the BBC. The article is basically just sort of commentary on the tweet. So the tweet is, North Korea fired off some small weapons, which disturbed some of my people and others, but not me. I have confidence that Chairman Kim will keep his promise to me, and also smiled when he called Swamp Man Joe when he called Swamp Man Joe Biden a low IQ individual and worse. Perhaps that's sending me a signal.
Oh my God! I did not see this before. This is so incredible.
Trump is implying, he's literally just saying that Chairman Kim Jong-un called Joe Biden a low IQ individual.
Mm-hmm. As like a little wink to him to be like, don't worry, I'm on your side. Yeah, I agree that Joe Biden is low IQ.
I might have shot some small weapons off of a peninsula in the eastern part of my country, but our bromance is stronger than that, Donald.
Yeah. Oh, man. I didn't see. That's amazing, because just recently, a lot of people, I think me included on the podcast at some point, were pointing out the laziness in Trump calling him Sleepy Joe Biden, because he's called a lot of different people sleepy. It's not a very good insult. It's kind of weak. So I bet he saw that. Maybe he heard us on this podcast and was like, you know, they're right. That's not a very good insult.
Yeah, Swamp Man.
What about Swamp Man? I don't know why he's a Swamp Man or what that means, but yeah, I got to give him props. It's an amazing burn.
I've got a lot of insults for Joe Biden in the old bank here, but Swamp Man never made the list.
Yeah,
like there's three other candidates I would call a Swamp Man, right? Like Cory Booker has Swamp Man energy. Pete Buttigieg is clearly a pod person, but not
Amy Klobuchar seems like a Swamp Woman.
Yeah, Joe Biden's like a like an alligator that was turned into a human being by a witch's spell, right? Maybe that's the closest I can get to Swamp Man.
Right. Lots of libs are pointing out that Trump also misspelled Joe Biden's name.
Oh, yeah.
It's B-I-D-A-N. So he doesn't even really know or care how to spell Joe Biden's name.
Yeah. He's not going to bother to Google him as he's writing off some fire tweets. He's got shit to do, like write other tweets.
That's probably just like Trump trying to do a big dick move. Like, I bet Chairman Kim was like, hey, spell Biden's name wrong after I say he has a low IQ. And Trump was just like, okay.
Yeah. Why not?
Damn. Kim Jong-un rules.
He fucking rules.
I feel like this tweet basically proves that Kim Jong-un is the smartest politician in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, knowing how malleable Trump, I mean, we've talked about this on the show before, like what we would do if we were in a room with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, convince him you're whatever he wants to believe you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then just convince him to let you do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Which should be pretty easy, right? But I think people are stuck in this like idea that you can engage with like politicians and like people in power in good faith and have like a real relationship with them. But that's, you just know with Trump, that's an impossibility right on its face. So it's either grift or be grifted at that point.
And I have a feeling that, you know, Kim Jong-un's grandfather was really into movies.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably seen a lot of American movies. He probably knows how to put on like mafioso energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like real hard. And so he's like, I'm going to make you a promise, Donald. I will never nuke America.
Mm-hmm.
I will never go to war with America. I don't want anything. I just want, you know, to have good relationships with you and for you to give us a bunch of money. And we know our countries will be great together.
Mm-hmm.
And just and Trump's like, yes, I hear you.
So like Trump's getting ready to go over and visit North Korea, and Kim and his cabinet are just like, we're going to make this exactly like The Godfather. And then Trump's like on the plane headed back from Korea, and he's just like, wow, that was exactly like The Godfather. I loved it.
They're Google imaging it and like making, they're like, they make an Italian restaurant with like checkered tablecloth and like set up all this shit from the movies just to like trigger Trump's lizard brain.
Yeah. I'm just imagining Trump on Air Force One, like scrolling through his iPhone or his Samsung Galaxy like camera roll, being like, wow, this rules. This is great.
Damn, this shit low-key slaps.
North Democratic People's State of North Korea is incredible. Says it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but apparently, Abe is not happy about it. Mr. Abe does not like this, that they're able to do any weapons testing at all, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess Trump is trying to calm him down by going golfing with him
and attending the end of the sumo season finals, it seems like.
Yeah, the basho.
Oh man, I'm just like, I've heard that whenever Trump meets like athletes, like when he had the college football team at the White House, he was always like, he'd like kind of pat him on the back and he's like, oh wow, you're a beautiful strong young man, I bet all the girls love you. So I'm imagining him doing that to like sumo wrestlers, like,
yeah, you're incredibly large boy. You're definitely gonna win the basho.
The ladies must go wild for you.
In my country we have a restaurant called Big Boy, you'd love it, it's huge, you're huge, we love it.
No one's ever been huger than you, folks.
I'm sure. Yeah, I bet Trump loves Big Boy. He loves going in and ordering the Big Boy burger and feeling like a big boy.
Just like asking John Bolton, like, can we get a pie to take home, John? Like,
John Bolton keeps trying to tell him why they should invade Iran. And he's like, all right, do whatever you want. But can we go to Big Boy first? I'm getting hungry.
Well, it's so funny, too, that like Bolton and Abe are of one mind on this, too. Like, that's just the worst buddy cop show of all time. Right? Like Bolton's a week from retirement, Shinzo Abe is the new kid on the force, and they have to go stop Trump from doing the wrong kind of conservatism.
Yeah, it's such a strange feeling to be like, wow, actually, like, I mean, I hate John Bolton and Trump did appoint him, but also like this tweet about North Korea being cool, I basically support. I don't like Joe Biden, I like North Korea from what I know of it. I gotta agree with Trump on this one.
Yeah. And I mean the article here, this BBC article, it does mention that like doing small weapons tests is completely normal.
Mm-hmm.
Every country does this. They just have a military,
right?
And they're testing out their weapons.
Oh, it's like, not even like missiles, like nuclear missiles of any kind. It's
no,
just
it's like it's not even missile components. Literally, they were testing individual missile components.
It wasn't even long range missile components. Mm-hmm. They were just testing their weapons, the small weapons, at which everybody, anytime they do this, mm-hmm. literally every time, the media likes to pretend like we're about to go to war because we have, you know,
North Korea wants to kill us. They hate America.
Yeah. They're communists. No, and so
they're flexing on like South Korea and Japan, which are basically Israel. So we have to go to war.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, South Korea is losing that status as Mr. Moon continues to be nice to North Korea and wants, you know, to bring it all back together. But mm-hmm. Japan is a, you know, basically an ethno-state, mm-hmm. the conservative,
highly reactionary, very centralized government, super authoritarian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quote unquote. And so they're trying, you know, the U.S. imperialist media is trying to make this seem like a bigger deal than it is. And Trump is just like, guys, it's not a big deal. I love this man. He's my best friend.
Yeah, it's hilarious how he's like in some cases immune to U.S. propaganda a little bit, like when it doesn't actually make sense.
Well, I think he cares, like he likes people that blow smoke up his ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that works better on him.
But he'll like Fox News just because they're pro him,
mm-hmm.
and he'll basically do whatever they say because they blow smoke up his ass. But I think it's much more powerful to do it to him in person.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like that overwhelms the like media.
I'm of two minds about that because that holds true for like most people, but Trump is one of those guys where I think he sees his own face on the TV and just creams his fucking pants.
Well, I think he's such, his brain is so addled by deals. He loves making deals. And if he's got a deal going that he's not publicizing yet, then I think he's like, well, I gotta keep my deals.
Oh, he's too high on his love of the game is what you're saying.
That's right. He loves the deals game.
Yeah. It's like in stark contrast to a president like Obama, who, you know, prides himself on being a cool, steely minded, you know, professor who's going to look at all the facts. And so he takes in all of the, you know, intelligence data about North Korea and is like, well, they seem bad. And so doesn't actually like consider the human element as much as absurdly someone like Trump seems to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we still hate Trump, but we should we should be opportunists with his weird love for North Korea in whatever way we can, I guess.
Yeah. However, yeah. I mean,
is there any way that someone becomes the best podcast of the year and they get invited to the White House for hamburgers? And can we go and meet him, just the four of us? And I don't know what comes next, but I bet we could get some deals going.
Well, I'll show him how plans. To shell jump gonna... in Super Mario World, and then he'll just do anything I say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Always a disclaimer of we don't actually know how good Mr. Kim is, mm-hmm. but I like him, and I would like to see North Korea not be in the eyesight of U.S. imperialism. I would like John Bolton not to invade the DPRK. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that everyone should be for that.
Actually, I would like John Bolton by himself to invade the DPRK.
Yeah.
To just lose it and take a gun, Rambo style.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and break in, because that would rule. They would arrest him and probably... put him in prison and make him like repeat propaganda about the government for a while before they kill him.
Yeah.
make him do tours of Pyongyang with all the shitty American tourists that come in, so Koreans don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to make him spend 3 years in a re-education camp and learn Korean and then like give tours. Yeah. I would like that to happen. Mm-hmm. Let's see John Bolton become Chairman Kim's pig boy. All right, well, on that note, that's been the episode this week.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you so much for listening to Beep Beep Lettuce. We really appreciate your support and your listenership. If you'd like to hear more episodes, please go to our Patreon at patreon.com/beepbeeplettuce. Please rate and review the show on iTunes. It really helps people find the show. Especially, it also makes us laugh when you write funny reviews. So please do that because I like to see what you say. Follow us on all the social medias. At Beep Beep Leaf, Facebook, Instagram, also Twitter.
Twitter, yeah.
The one that we all mm-hmm. like. Mm-hmm. Also, hang out with us in Mids Posting, which is on Facebook. Just search Mids Posting. As I said on the bonus, it is currently a secret group because we were afraid of getting zucked by Indonesians. but we are putting it back to... closed as soon as we can. So sorry if you can't get in yet, but try and hang out with us. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you in the Discord.
Love you guys.
Stay
Bye. Bye. Love you.